Hello. Welcome again to the series of messages. One of the series of the messages we have been taking to establish the believer. Today, we'll be continuing with the second part of the message I started last week, titled The Adoption of the Believer. In this message, we want to stress the need for the believer to grow to perfection, to grow to Christian maturity, and to be established in such a way that we all can be adopted. And so today we will look at adoption as it pertains to the individual first before the church general that culminates in the home going. Let's go to the auditorium and may you be blessed as you listen. God bless you. Amen. Can we complete our message of last week? Amen. One verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. I want to also welcome all our unseen members, known as online members. You see us, but we don't see you. That our God sees you. And may the Lord honor all your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, there are two words. Two words. Two terminologies that describe our salvation. That's what I tried to bring out last week. God uses the word adoption and uses the word redemption. He uses the word adoption and then uses the word again, redemption. And concerning our salvation, He reveals Himself to us as an adopted father. An adoption is the process whereby one becomes a legal parent of someone, of a child, legally. Going through all the process, then you become the legal parent. And always the word, a child is adopted because the child finds himself or herself in a fatherless and motherless situation, helpless situation. And there is a need for the child to have a father so that he can build back his confidence as a human being. And God chooses that word for our salvation, so that we can appreciate Him. So, He comes to you. You see your wretchedness. The soul that sinners shall die. Apostle Paul stressed that out in Romans chapter 7. The wretchedness of every human being on earth. And we are all under the captivity, bondage. That's why he used the word. We have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear. Where you are always afraid of uncertainty, no hope anywhere. Because you are under the bondage of fear because of the situation, the condition you find yourself.
dangers all around you. And God comes to your estate and he reached down. The songwriter says, when he reached down his hands for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God nor his son. When he reached down his hands for me, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love and see such a sight. How wonderful. He loves me, I cannot tell why. He loves me, I cannot tell why. On Calvary's hill, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot tell why. That is the picture he forms when you give your life to Christ. A hopeless person now becomes a hopeful person. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, he first relates with us through the process of adoption. Then, after, you progress in the knowledge of God. It's good to know salvation, church. It's good to know that process. Then he looks at you now. Here you are. You are supposed to take away fear. But now, you come to a church like Deeper Life. You come to a church like Holiness Revival Movement. I don't know how many people know that church. What's the name of? Linda's Church. Linda from Sierra Leone. That's her husband's church. Holiness Believing Church. Where you are taught. Because Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Then because Apostle Paul went further. Because remember, it's Apostle Paul that speaks about the spirit of adoption. Then Apostle Paul went further. He explained in Romans chapter 11. He was telling us, he said, that if the first branch, which is Israel, was cut off so that you, who was wild by nature, will be grafted in. He said, be careful. Because if he could cut off the original, what of you that only came and was grafted in? He will cut you off. So walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Then, Deeper Life is telling you, be careful or you will lose your salvation. So, you discover that you enter another fear. Now, you are relating with God now with fear, 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 fear. Because the process of adoption does not tell you that he is your original father. That means it is by mercy you became his son. Therefore, if he first throw you to where he picked you before. So, here you are. You left one fear of Satan to another fear of God. Then, here you are. Anytime you commit sin, hey, I am gone. I am finished. Amen. Then, he comes down to his bride and gives you another definition of salvation. He calls it redeem. You are not just adopted. Adoption is to make you appreciate me. But the truth is, you are redeemed. And what is redemption? Redemption, to redeem something, is something that belonged to you, but something happened, you lost it. So originally, you belong to him. But sin got you out of his way from the Garden of Eden. And so he came back to redeem, to buy you back. The process of bringing what was his, but he lost, bringing it back is called redemption. Therefore, hallelujah, that revelation takes away fear. Because the truth is, I was his own from the foundation of the world. That is redemption. Remember, the process of redemption is a kinsman redemption process he uses. He gave Israel a law that before you are qualified to redeem somebody, you must be related to him by blood. You must be related to him by blood. Therefore, hallelujah, God is a spirit and his children are flesh and blood. Can we read it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. From verse 14, 15, 16, 17. For as much then as the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, we are flesh and blood, but he's a spirit. God is a spirit. He's not flesh and blood. And blood, flesh, committed sin. And it will take flesh to redeem flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there's another qualification. Before I continue that reading, there's another qualification. Not just that you'll be related by, not just that you're related by blood. Praise the Lord. You too, the person to redeem must be free. Somebody in bondage cannot redeem another person that is in bondage. That is another condition, precondition. And that's why we see in the book of Revelation chapter 5, no man was qualified to redeem man. So try to listen to the message I preached, I titled, Why the Virgin Birth. I explained this there. No man was qualified. And it must take man to redeem man. Kinsman redeemer. Flesh and blood fell. Flesh and blood must redeem man. Man fell. Man must redeem man. But no man was qualified. And that is why God himself had to make the body of a man bypass the process that you and I came through. That made the cost to follow us. Through that virgin birth, he created that body and tabernacle in that body. So that we can now understand Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death, because God cannot die, so he had to create a body that can die, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them, you and I, who through fear of death we are all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16. For verily, God himself, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He had a lineage. Oh, glory be to God. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. The creator of the heavens and the earth came in the lineage of Abraham and came to be a brother to us. The mystery of godliness. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's why when you fall, you don't remain there. He understands. Hallelujah. And so, he goes further than adoption and gives you more confidence to remove fear and reveals to you that you are redeemed. You are redeemed. And we saw last week how that Apostle Paul tried to bring it out again that we are heirs of God. Who is a heir? A heir is one that inherits that which pertains to the Father. Hallelujah. And only his children can be heirs. And then he said, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ because the Bible describes him the first begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. Therefore, the mystery again, who is Jesus Christ? As far as the family of God is concerned, Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Oh, I don't know whether I'm sinking this somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you become a Christian, the spirit you have received is actually the spirit of sonship. Hallelujah. The day you discover that I was in Christ before the foundation of the world, that I have been reconciled to my Father, and once saved, forever I am saved. I cannot lose my salvation anymore. If you don't understand it, hallelujah, you are the type that fears servants of God because you don't even know the position you occupy as his child. And somebody who is full of anointing, demonstrate anointing, and with his witchcraft stands and threatens you. You are talking to a man of God. If I curse you, then you're going to shake. They shake. You catch her with your wife, you go look and say, I leave you with God for fear. Let this man not curse me. It's because you don't know who you are. A son of God and a servant of God. Which one is higher? Oh, I like to stress this. If there's anything I want to achieve in my ministry, I'm telling you that is the truth. Not being humble. Because of the abundance or the depth of the revelation of what I know of the position of a believer. And when the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I'm telling you the burden in my heart, and see it in all the messages I preach, I try by all means to remove inferiority complex from the believer. That's all one thing, because I know if I can remove that inferiority complex, then you will look up to God, knowing who you are, that the same God I call upon and he answer me, he's not partial. The same blood that made the way for me to come to him is the same blood that made the way for you. The day you discover who you are, you will be less, pay less attention to all this running around against follow prophet up and down and follow pastors up and down and all that nonsense people do. Because you don't know who you are. And because men of God have presented the gospel that way, so that they become something and you become nothing, to make you always depend on them. That is not the gospel. As many as receive him, as many, how many of them are here? To them gave he what? Power to be what? Oh, glory be to God. I'm so passionate about it. The greatest testimony that shake me, it's not testimony I lay my hand on you, something happened. No. The testimony, me as a preacher and as a teacher of faith, is to hear you tell me the action of faith you did between you and God and see the result. I get very excited over it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are redeemed. We were his own. And all that happened, that's why he put that parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son is a story of redemption. It was not God that sent them away, sent us away from his presence. It was sin that sent us away. The prodigal son decided, I want to go on my own. You can do it on your own, Abby. Praise God. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. The same power, the same authority Jesus has. He said we are jointly having that authority. He's a son of God. We are also the son of God. Romans 8:29. That is the destiny of a believer. What is your destiny? For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, hallelujah, of his son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many. We are the brethren. Are they here? Oh my. So, Jesus, as far as looking at him from this angle is concerned, for the purpose of redemption, he is our elder brother. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I say looking at him from that angle, because there are so many angles of looking at it. Who Jesus is. Jesus told his disciples one time, he said, I will call you my friends. He referred to them as his friends. Hallelujah. But Isaiah referred to him as the everlasting father. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul called him the last Adam. So it means the first Adam position, he has taken it. Because we were born physically, our first birth came from Adam. From him, we were produced, human beings. Now, the last Adam is the second birth. This time it is spiritual. So, you won't call him now your brother. He is now your father because he gave birth to us spiritually. So, that is why I'm saying so, because we have legalists. Who read the Bible and just pick one and run off. Because there's a group of people that denied the sonship of Jesus, denied the deity of Jesus, and just stood and kept calling Jesus Christ our elder brother, because of Romans 8:29. And when you try to tell them that Jesus is also the Almighty God, they say, shut up. Revelation now tell us he's our elder brother. But can you wipe off the other one from the Bible? We must balance our revelation depending on what we are looking at. Now, for the purpose of knowing who you are in Christ, hallelujah, we are joint heirs with him. Now, this is where I want to continue today, in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Now I say that the heir, because we are heirs. That's why I took time to explain all that to make you understand what I want to say now. We are heirs, joint heirs. Am I correct? Let me see your hand up if you are heir and joint heir with Jesus. Thank you very much. He said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I emphasize that verse 1 again. You are a heir, but when you are still a child, As long as you are a child, your position in that house, in that household, in that kingdom, because you are a child, your position is not different from a servant in that same house. Though you are the real Lord, you be Lord of all, but you are still a child. And so verse 2, because you are a child, he said, but that child now, who is the Lord of all, is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Remember, this is part 2 of the topic we titled the adoption of the believer. Hallelujah. As long as you are a child, you give birth to in that family, from the first day, the father begots you. The father gets you, your mother gives birth to you. Naming ceremony takes place. The father looks at that child. He's not looking at the child as he is now. He's looking at the person that will inherit his kingdom. Although he's a child. But as far as the relationship he has in that kingdom is concerned, he is still a child. And he's not better than any servant there. What is the difference between a servant and a child, a son, the lord of the house? The servant has restrictions. The servant is appointed for a time. The servant is paid wages. The servant is employed. And that is why the servant is working in that house for what he will get, because he knows he has no future beyond his salary. And there are a lot of people who say they are servants of God, and truly there is a spirit of bondage. When you see a Christian minister of God who comes and prides himself, his testimony is not on the number of souls he has won, but his testimony is on the material gains, acquisitions, all he has acquired since the ministry started. Can't you see? I started with one shoe, but now I have 3 rooms full of suits. That is the spirit of a servant. That is what he was working for. A servant in the house where you use his salary and his master dash him television. Oh, praise God. My master just woke up and took 3D television and dashed me. While he's celebrating that testimony, the son of that his master is looking at him. Television. Because to start with, all the televisions in the house belong to him. So he is not working like the servant for the acquisition of anything. The 2 of them are all working in the house. Hallelujah. While he is working to have confidence on the master, on his father, so that the father can be happy with him, in writing his will, he can give him a large portion. The master, the servant, is struggling to acquire, because all of them look up to one particular day. What is that day? The day that that master will die. The day the man dies, the servant's work is over. Whereas the son, the day his father dies, that is the day he arrives. Therefore, the way the 2 of them we walk in that house, we depend on their position. I say it. That is how we know. By their fruits, you will know them. The testimony of a minister of God is not the material things you acquire. That's not your testimony. We should thank God though. But there is a way we go about the testimony to look as if that is the gain for the ministry. The gain for the ministry will come after the rapture. That is why we shall all be rewarded. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. He said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can we read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So all of us, hallelujah, we are looking at the day that we shall stand before our master, our father. Then he will reward everyone. He's going to share the kingdom and give some Nigeria, some Africa, some America, some Asia, depending on how. Hallelujah. And then our master Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who is the King of Kings, he will also be ruling from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And we shall join heirs with him in the kingdom. We shall also be ruling as he also will be ruling. Praise the Lord. Now here is my emphasis. Now, the Father is interested in your upbringing. So, he gives tutors and governors to bring you up. They bring reports concerning you to him. And as far as the gospel is concerned, our salvation is concerned, the tutor, the governor, he that leads and brings us up is the Holy Ghost himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, the Bible tells us they are the sons of God. The Bible tells us the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He will lead you to all truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. So who is the tutor he's talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because when we see Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, where it says, for it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. It's the ministry spirit, the Holy Ghost, is that ministry spirit that reports our spiritual progress. Hallelujah. And so, if Christ is our elder brother, then what happened to him, the process he went through, is the same process we shall go through. When he told us, he who will follow me, he is the way, pick up your cross. He had a cross, so we too, we will have our own cross. Amen. But as far as the adoption I'm talking about is concerned, Christ was also adopted. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Listen very well. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 16. Let's read from verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, water baptism, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighten upon him. And lo, a voice from where? From where? From heaven, saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That was the day he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And any day you are not a Christian, you are not yet a child, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, by one spirit are we baptized into the body. Hallelujah. You are a member of your family. You bear your father's name because you are a member of that family, because you were born into that family. That's what makes him your father. You don't join the family. You are born into the family. You don't join Jesus. You don't join the church. Many of you are joining church, and the church knows you, but Christ does not know you. And the fact that you are appearing, I'm a Christian, is more than that. It's more than that. Hallelujah. The fact that Jesus Christ is very kind, he's a very compassionate God. He's full of love. Anyone that comes to him, he says, I will in no way cast away. He will not reject you. That's why when prostitutes come here, they call upon him, he answered them. Very compassionate. Sinners that refuse to repent, but when trouble comes, they run to him. When they come, they call upon him. They cry. He said, very compassionate. He will just look at the situation and bless you. And people mistake such blessings to mean that he is their father. But the foundation of God standeth sure. That's why Apostle Paul said, it has this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, although everybody is claiming to be a Christian. Why? You are not a Christian until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you become a Christian? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15. Can we read it? Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Concerning Christ, he called him, he said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So our family name is what? Christ. That's why we are Christians. Jesus is our heavenly father. That is our surname. It's not a style. It's not a name you acquire. You are born into it, into that family. Except a man is born of the Spirit and of water, he cannot enter the kingdom. It's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just pray that somebody will catch, what I am saying. So the day you receive the Holy Ghost, that is your new birth. No matter how old you are, you may be 80 years old, 70 years old. As far as God is concerned, you are a baby. I expect some people to be celebrating their new birthday. There is the old birthday and there is the new birthday. The day you receive the Holy Ghost, you become a child. And although you are now born again, you have received the Holy Ghost, you are still a child. You cannot be adopted yet. Hallelujah. You cannot be given power yet. You cannot be given authority yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am saying this because Apostle Paul, admonishes us to move on to perfection. Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Apostle Paul tells us to grow in grace. We are to grow. We cannot remain babies forever. And nobody, you can't even take a knife and give it to your little child to hold. You know he will injure himself with it. That is a complete child and is the heir apparent of your kingdom. The cars parked in the garage, they belong to him. He's going to inherit them. He does not need to buy another car. All the cars that they belong to him, but he cannot ride any of those cars because he's still a baby. He will only go and kill himself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are born again by the Spirit of God, and then you'll understand what happened with Jesus. Because what happened with Jesus is what will happen with every one of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.